Five, four, three, two, one.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Situation Fluxus, a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Let us dig into the headlines. Performances this evening, Thursday, December 15th. At the Ulster Performing Arts Center in Kingston, New York, drummer Jack DeJeanette, pianist John Batiste, and bassist Matthew Garrison, with special guest comedian Roy Wood Jr., 8 p.m. This event is part of a concert series in celebration of DeJeanette's 80th birthday and a fundraiser for the nonprofit Shape Shifter Plus. For more information, bardavon.org. Guitarist Yotam Silverberg with keyboardist Vitor Gonzalez and drummer Daniel Dorr at Room 31 in New York City. For more information, Room 31, that's the number 31, .nyc. The Center for Computer Research in Music and Acoustics in Stanford, California presents visiting scholar Henrik Frisk for a concert that will include an improvisation session. For more information, ccrma.stanford.edu. And at the Jazz Gallery in New York City tonight, soprano saxophonist Dave Liebman, percussionist Adam Rudolph, and drummer Tashawn Sori perform two sets in support of their new release, New Now. This performance will also be live streamed. For more information, jazzgallery.org. Tomorrow night, saxophonist John Ellis's Double Wide at Lunatico in Brooklyn, New York for two sets. For more information, barlunatico.com. This Friday and Saturday night, December 16th and 17th at the Jazz Forum in Tarrytown, New York, the Bill Charlap Trio for two sets. For more information, jazzforumarts.org. Upcoming events in Chicago, Illinois. At the Hungry Brain tomorrow night, Friday, December 16th, the Jason Nazary Trio, 9 p.m. CST. For more information, hungrybrainchicago.com. And at Elastic, Elastro AV 2022 Night 2, beginning at 8 p.m. CST. For more information, elasticarts.org. This Saturday, December 17th, a quartet led by electronics player and recent MacArthur Foundation Genius Grant recipient Ikui Mori performs at Shift in Brooklyn, New York, 8:30 p.m. For more information, 411, that's the number, 411kent.org. Coming to Levon Helm Studios in Woodstock, New York, on Sunday, December 18th, the Hot Sardines Holiday Stomp, 8 p.m. For more information, levonhelm.com. Also this Sunday, the multi-Grammy-nominated The Baylor Project and vocalist Brian Courtney Wilson perform at Sony Hall in New York City, 8 p.m. For more information, sonyhall.com. Jazz is Sunday at the Falcon in Marlborough, New York, on Sunday, December 18th at 7 p.m. as part of the Jazz Coalition series DJ Logic's Remembrance. For more information, liveatthefalcon.com. And at Birdland in New York City, inside of Birdland Theater next Tuesday, December 19th, the Michael Conan Trio, And inside of Birdland Jazz Club, December 20th through the 24th, the Monty Alexander Trio. For more information, birdlandjazz.com. And now for new and upcoming releases. Vocalist Samara Joy, out with two holiday singles on Verve. Pianist Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra also have a holiday release on Decca. The Chicago Experiment Revisited has released a single on Tiny. And trumpeter Natsuki Tamura and drummer Itetsu Takamura's Lightning via Bandcamp. All news items have been gathered from various media sources. For the latest updates, contact the source, venue, or business. Remember, I'm just the messenger. We'll start off with music. from the new Blue Note release, Revival, Live at Pookie's Pub by drummer Elvin Jones, an unissued live recording from 1967 at a little-known club in New York City where Jones had a weekly residency after leaving saxophonist John Coltrane's band in 1966. That was Miles Davis's tune, Olio. Joe Farrell on tenor saxophone, Billy Green on piano, and Wilbur Little on bass. And from the June 2-disc release by guitarist John Stein, titled Lifeline, the composition Elvin. The release highlights selections from Stein's 2-decade career discography and was inspired months after Stein was diagnosed with a debilitating nerve and muscle condition which has impacted his ability to play guitar. This release is on Wailing City Sound. You're listening to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Please send your comments, quips, and anecdotes, as well as feedback to thejazzdisturbance at gmail.com. For more information about the show, jazzfluxus.com. My interview is with pianist, composer, and bandleader Matthew Fries. His new release, Lost Time, is out now on X Kappa Records. So I want to thank you, Matthew, for joining me here today on Situation Fluxus.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, I want to say that the release is beautiful.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I love how this interview is starting already. This is
Well, truthfully, I've had it playing at the start of my day for the last two mornings. So I've just really been enjoying it.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh. Would you talk about the two gentlemen who accompany you on this release of original compositions and their contributions?
Sure. I would talk about these two all day long if I could. So I'll start with the drummer. Keith Hall is a drummer that I've, and a good friend of mine. He's somebody that I've known, you know, probably 30 years, 25 years. He was living in New York City. We're both living in New York City at the same time and, you know, kind of started playing gigs together. And we ended up playing as the rhythm section for a singer named Curtis Stigers. He was kind of a blue-eyed soul singer back in the 90s, but really a jazz singer, grew up learning from Gene Harris, who was living right there in Boise, Idaho, where he's from. You know, how these things work out, you never know. But Keith and I were members of his band, and so we were on the road together for just, you know, all over the place, you know, 100-something shows a year with Curtis, and became just like musical soulmates. He's a beautiful, beautiful drummer, swings like crazy, but also really orchestrates and really contributes to, he's really fast with just understanding what a composition needs beyond just what the rhythm is and what the tempo is and what the feel is, but really, really shaping it musically and texturally with the tools that he has. Fast forward to now, Well, about 5 years ago, he called me because he's out here in Michigan where I'm currently living. And he's from out here originally and moved back and was teaching at Western Michigan University. Called me up and was like, hey, the piano position is opening. You wouldn't happen to be interested in applying for this job. And so I applied and ended up getting the job. And so now I'm here in Michigan, and he's right down the hall. He's one of my best friends and one of my favorite musicians to play with. So that's Keith. And then the other one is John Hebert, fantastic, fantastic bass player. He was in Fred Hirsch's trio for 10 years. He has a beautiful combination, like an incredible straight ahead ability, like swings like crazy as a bass player, but just has this love for avant-garde and weird stuff. And has the most perfect combination of the two. Like, there's so many times when I've been playing with him where, you know, we're playing and I'm kind of listening as we're playing and I'm thinking, I don't have any idea what John is doing right now. This is not anything I've heard any bass player ever do in this situation, but I can't think of anything more perfect. Like, he kind of transcends what's expected and does the unexpected, and it's even better. So the two of them, and John was actually teaching out here when I recorded this, and we went down to Chicago and did a day in the studio down there. And, you know, when I wrote this music, it was, you know, I knew they were going to be on it, and I really wrote with them in mind, leaving them a lot of room to kind of, you know, like leaving some spaces that I'm not going to tell you what to do in this spot. I want you guys to orchestrate and to do your magic and to come up with what you do. And they totally delivered. They found a way to, you know, they really worked together to just elevate what I was trying to do. And I can't imagine this recording without their voices on it. So.
Lost Time has been released on X Kappa Records, and you own it, you operate it with someone else?
Yeah, a friend of mine, a bass player in New York named Phil Palombi. He and the drummer I talked about, Keith Hall, the three of us were the rhythm section for Curtis Steiger's band, for a long time there. And we're also really good friends, and we started putting out some records, doing the self-release sort of thing, which has gotten so much easier to do with the tools that are available now. You know, it used to be such a thing that you needed the muscle of a Blue Note, or you needed the muscle of Columbia to
a whole management team.
Yes. But now so many of these tools are available, and you have these direct paths to, you know, getting your CDs available in stores. But, you know, with all the online stuff now, it's, you know, the individual artist has a lot of power, in a lot of control in getting their stuff out there. We kind of put this together as a way to kind of, It's more than a management sort of a thing. It's more of an image sort of a thing that, you see a record label that there's a little bit of authenticity to it. And we did take that kind of seriously. Like, there was, we kind of wanted it to have a certain vibe in the music and in the way it looked. And so it's a little bit of like a vanity, you know, small independent label, like just for us. But I like to think it's got a little bit more than just a name slapped on there.
In seeking out new artists to add to your roster, what would one need to bring to X Kappa?
Well, I think the big thing would be like a personal style and also we're very connected to the history of this music, like music that swings but isn't necessarily a throwback to. I'm just gonna regurgitate what, you know, Miles Davis was doing in the 50s or 60s. I'm not going to just do a hard bop record. As much as I love that music, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's really a focus on original compositions a modern spin on, it's kind of a modern spin on the traditional sounds and the traditional feel of the music. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important.
During the pandemic of the last 2+ years, some folks like me lost time. You lost family members. You lost your mother and your stepfather, neither of whom died from COVID, as I understand it.
Correct.
Okay. The release is dedicated to your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Were any of the tunes written from her perspective as you imagined or knew of from moments that you spent with her?
That's a really good question. And it's interesting. The title track, the song Lost Time, was very specifically written for her and about her. And the title comes from the fact that, you know, she passed away during the pandemic, and she had pretty severe dementia. And so she was in a facility. And, you know, during this time when we're all trying to keep everybody safe from the pandemic, from the virus, from COVID, we basically kind of, especially the people in, you know, elderly facilities, were kind of locked away, and you weren't allowed to go in, and it was very, you know, very secure. And because, you know, they knew that if COVID got into their facility, it would be really terrible.
Yeah.
And so they were very protective. The downside in my situation was that because my mother had dementia, she couldn't really talk on the phone. She couldn't do a FaceTime conversation. She didn't understand how it worked. You know, for a person in that situation, the only way you can really communicate with them is to be there and to, you know, hold their hand and to just kind of be present. And that was impossible. And so as a result, she ended up passing away, and it was like I kind of just missed out on the last 3 or 4 months of her life. You know, she kind of like had disappeared into this facility and no communication, and then she was just gone. And it was a little bit of a thinking about the fact how that time that potential time together got lost, and hence that's the title. So that was very specifically written for her and about her, that piece. But all the pieces that I was writing for this recording that came out during that time, as I kind of looked back on them and the titles and the sound of them, they were all really affected by what was happening. You know, it's not like I was writing these in a bubble. You know, I was experiencing my version of what was happening in the pandemic. We all have our own stories.
Yep.
We all have our own struggles. And my particular struggle, you know, was this situation with my mother and my stepfather, and then how that played into how did I see the world when we couldn't sleep at night. And there's a piece on the recording called Insomnia about that, trying to capture the feeling of being up late at night when you can't fall back asleep, and, you know, just the it's a very subtle little piece. There's another one that's called Quarantine, and it's just kind of like bouncing around my house when I wasn't allowed to go anywhere. But all of that stuff was very, there was so much resonating in all of the things that I did based on this very important situation of around my mother. And so some of it I don't feel was as intentional as maybe you were describing in the question, but I think the meaning and I think the intention is there. It just wasn't necessarily my conscious intention, but it was kind of like the world's intention put into this music.
The titles of 7 of your compositions I can attach to the feelings of loss and isolation.
Mm-hmm.
But one I can't, and that's Nine Robins. What's the what's the story behind that one?
So a lot of weird stuff happened during the pandemic, right? I mean, we all had our weird things. Nine Robins is about, and you were talking before we started rolling tape that you're a birder, that you like to watch your birds in the backyard. Well, it's the middle of winter here in Michigan, and there's about 2 feet of snow on the ground. And out in front of my house is this beautiful little crab apple tree. And I walked outside, and there were a bunch of robins hanging out in this crab apple tree, eating the berries. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm no bird expert. I'm no ornithologist. But I'm like, okay, I don't think of robins as winter birds. I think of them as showing up in the spring and being the first sign of spring. So I was like, oh, this is kind of weird that there's these robins out here in the snow, first of all. And then my second thing was like, well, I don't usually think of robins traveling in flocks. I think of them being more loners, you know. And I never saw like a group of robins together. And it's the pandemic, so I couldn't really, there was nobody else around really. So I did what you normally do. You go on Twitter or whatever social media and say, hey, I saw a bunch of robins today. And then I got a couple of messages back from just random people. Yeah, I live in Ohio and we had the same thing. I live in, you know, and I was just, and I suddenly had this image of this flock of these robins kind of traveling around the Midwest to some people's crab apple trees in the snow in this really unusual thing and just this adventure. And so the piece Nine Robins is a bit of a through composed adventure that this flock of nine robins that were hanging out in my crab apple tree in front of my house in the middle of winter, it's their adventure. So it is kind of connected to it's kind of an inside story on how it's connected to some of the other titles, a little more obvious of what might have been going on, but yeah.
Gosh, that's so inventive. I love that.
I keep waiting for somebody to animate it. I can totally imagine like a little animation of these nine robins flying around and
You could. You actually could. People do it.
People do it. I don't know that I could do it, but people do it.
You find somebody.
Okay. All right.
You are professor of jazz piano at Western Michigan University.
Mm-hmm.
Besides you, who other pianists are the kids listening to for ideas and inspiration?
Well, if they're doing what I tell them, they're listening to some Red Garland and they're listening to some Herbie Hancock and they're listening to some Oscar Peterson. You know, there's in the jazz education world, we're really trying to push the innovators in this music and the ones who kind of really express the harmony and the rhythm in like a really traditional way, especially for a young person trying to figure this out. So hopefully that's some of the people that are listening to. We're going to find out. It's finals week here, so we'll find out how true that is. But they're also, you know, they're turning me on to people on their own. You know, like I have students who are really into Robert Glasper, really into Shy Maestro, you know, just people borrowing from hip hop, people borrowing from, you know, more avant-garde things like the, you know, up-tempo, really digital, fast finger kind of things in a very modern sort of a way. So it's interesting, you know, coming from my generation and the music that I, you know, was so fresh and new when I was coming, you know, like, oh yeah, what Cyrus Chestnut is doing, what Kenny Kirkland is doing, you know, and now there's this new crop of people interpreting the original masters and inspiring the young musicians who are learning. I'm always kind of getting, I swear almost every week there's somebody, some new name that somebody somebody passes my way, or somebody, one of my students shares an album with me, and I was like, okay, I'll be listening to this one for the next week or so.
Oh God.
Yeah.
From, you know, being in radio, there's so much music out there.
It really is.
Yeah. Andrew Hill, Jerry Allen. Those are two I think of.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had mentioned John Abert. John Abert played with Andrew Hill for a while. And actually, he has Andrew Hill's piano at his house.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So it's a real connection there, too. I love Andrew Hill.
Well, Matthew, as we come to the end of this interview, I'd like to give you the last word. You know, is there something I haven't asked you that you'd like to tell us about, an upcoming gig, project?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, I did a bunch of gigs around the release of this. I've got one more trio gig coming up this year. I'm playing there's a wonderful little spot in South Bend, Indiana, a little theater down
Merriman's
there.
Merriman's Playhouse,
exactly right. And so I'm going to be doing a show down there, which will be interesting because I'm going to be presenting this music from the pandemic of Lost Time. But it's also going to be, you know, 3 days before Christmas. So I'm going to have I'm going to have to bust out some of my Christmas arrangements, I think, or some holiday.
You're going to have to.
So that's going to be really fun. You know, and I've got some stuff coming up next year. I know I'm going to be playing down in Chicago at Winters. I'm doing something out at SF Jazz in February with Curtis Steigers, and going to be at the Bop Stop in Cleveland with my trio in March. So stuff's starting to fill in, but it's interesting. You know, we put these recordings out that are such a moment in time, and then you kind of continue. And so it's interesting talking about, you know, this music that I actually recorded, you know, a year and a half ago, but it's still you know, circling and resonating in such a powerful way. As I continue moving forward through performances and opportunities like that. So, but it's been wonderful talking with you about all this.
Information, MatthewFreeze.com. And we'll end today's show with a song for the holidays from vocalist Shannon Butcher, with an all-Canadian cast of players on the tune, You're Getting Nothing for Christmas But My Love.
The 12 days of Christmas are almost through. My shopping list has dwindled down to only you. I'd like to give you something to show how I care. Something that can't be found just You're getting nothing for Christmas but my love. A gift that's strong and deep and true. This genuine article will fit you like a glove. A limited edition just for you. Oh, it might come in a little package. I'm only 5'3". But I'll tell you, boy, without a doubt, there's a lifetime guarantee. You're getting nothing for Christmas. Christmas but my love. Nothing for Christmas but my love.
Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus, produced for and airing on WGXC, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I've been your host, Cheryl Kay. Tune in next Thursday at 10 a.m. for another show. I also host the Jazz Disturbance on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on WGXC, WGXC.org. For more information about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance at gmail.com or jazzfluxus.com. Thank you.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.